I agree, you know, we'll take turns. We'll get her done.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. And I think I have a manuscript of half of my message. So if I could get one of my ushers to go ahead and grab a paper on the back table there called Rebecca and go ahead and give one to each family here. I think there's enough. I wrote the penny pulpit before I preached the message. That's not like me. Usually I do it the other way around, and the penny pulpits usually come out better. I'm hoping maybe if I write the penny pulpit first, the message will come out better. We'll try that, see how this works. But this is called Rebecca, and since you have a copy of the message in front of you already, you don't really need to pay attention. Probably you can just... No, let's not even go there, all right? So let's go ahead and begin this. I enjoyed this message. It actually started a couple weeks ago when I was putting together, when we were reading through the Bible, I was looking at all these pictures. And then when we looked at Joseph and found out that Joseph is a portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, we talked about that in our Wednesday book club. And again, there's so many portrayals in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis particularly, of things that are perfectly applicable today, things that Christ did for us and would do for us. I thought I'd go ahead and just pull this one out of Genesis chapter 24. And so let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. If you have your Bible open to Genesis chapter 24, let's read a couple verses and we'll look again at this message about Rebecca, per se. Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in years. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things." There's another verse, I think it was maybe Joshua. No, maybe it was Moses. The Bible says, "And Moses was old and well stricken in years. And God said to Moses, you are old and well stricken in years." And so here's Abraham again. He is, as it says, old and well stricken in years. I like that verse. I felt that verse a couple times here in this past year. Verse 2 says, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again that we can look at this tremendous accounting and the portrayal and the picture that's painted here. And as we do, Father, may we come to love you all the more. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated as we again consider this. I want to go back through quickly and look at some of the pictures right out of that penny pulpit that we handed out. This year we have discussed the book of Job. That was actually last Wednesday night, wherein the trials of our lives, no matter how great, no matter how small, that the trials of our life are not worthy to be compared to the greatness of our God and the importance of His glory and the importance of His glorying. We looked at Wednesday night. Sometimes you might never find out why you went through the trial, and you just have to trust Him that it was for His glory, that He'll get the glory. Such was the case of Job, if you remember. That Job, again, except for the fact that after it was all over, so that he could write that these things were written in the book, Job said. And he wrote them down for us. But that's when Job found out that there was a contest going on in heaven, not before. And so, listen, we might never know why we go through things, but we can trust God anyway. No matter what we go through, trust Him in it. And then it says that we have walked to Egypt with Joseph, the late come, beloved son of Israel, who was rejected by his own brothers and scorned by the world, but he was raised up to be their salvation, raised up to reign over them all. Isn't that like Christ? That's a portrayal of what Christ has done for us. We have a marvelous Christ who would do no less. Prior, we climbed Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac to watch a father offer his son, his only begotten son, thine only son Isaac, the Bible says, on a hill shaped like a skull called Golgotha in Aramaic, called Cranium in Greek, and called Calvary in Latin. I know it's a Latin word, but again, it's struck from every modernist Bible, that word Calvary. Only shows up in our King James Bible, and Calvary's a precious place. And it's called precious in our salvation. It now comes as no surprise that when God preserves 67 verses to describe how Abraham's eldest servant is sent with his 10 camels to secure Rebekah as a cherished wife for his only begotten son, well, God has a much grander story to tell in the picture. The father, played by Abraham, sends his Holy Spirit, played by the eldest servant, carried by kneeling saints, played by 10 camels, made to kneel by the well, to secure a chaste virgin, played by Rebecca, for his only begotten son, played by Isaac, waiting by the well, called, incidentally, Lahairoi. If anyone's ever had any Hebrew lessons, you'll like that. We should all read Genesis 24 with more tender care. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and this is the most precious of love stories. In Rebecca's wooing, every little detail painted and preserved for these 3,875 years is extremely important to God, so too to his son's chaste virgin, the church. And so as we look at Genesis 24, I guess all I have to do is rehearse some of those actors and just look again and marvel at some of the things we find here. I read again verse 1 and 2 of this chapter, and notice again that Abraham's eldest servant, and again Abraham being the father, the eldest servant playing the role of the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes that's foreign to us. I remember, again, the first time I heard this taught, I was a teenager, and I'm thinking, boy, they're really making stuff up out of the Bible. Now, it doesn't say that, okay? And so, it takes a little study, a little imagination to see God's heart in this picture, but it fits extremely well, and it teaches us some very important lessons. And so Abraham, playing as the father here, sends his oldest servant. And again, a lot of the modern scholars, all the commentaries that I got, said, we don't know what this is where he laid his hand under his thigh. They don't know what to do with that verse. Because it's God's painting his picture. He's not worried about the details.
Amen.
And so they're thinking, well, maybe that's the way they did covenants back then. And so it was just a custom. And they saw other people doing it, so they tried it. No, that's not it at all.
Amen.
God put this in here so that he'd fulfill this little picture that he's painting. And notice that the Holy Spirit of God is one with the Father.
Amen.
And they are the same. And so here in this picture, we see again him doing something, the eldest servant, that isn't natural. There's nobody else that did that. Maybe they shook hands. That's what we do. We shake hands. There's no thigh touching when we do some kind of an agreement around here. And I praise God for that again. Unless you have an agreement with your wife again, there ought to be no thigh touching involved. And so notice the... sorry, hon. Notice the intimacy that's in that picture. And notice again the oneness that they are one flesh. as it would be. And so, again, the world does not know what to do with that. They try to change it again in the Hebrew, but there's no getting around what it says here, that he put his hand under his thigh. And let's just leave it at that, that there's a lot of people come up with a lot of theories, but they're all wandering around in darkness because they didn't see the big picture that God has here. So see the big picture again, that the Holy Spirit is God, is one with God. And you can see a glimpse of some teachings of the Trinity here as well. And then look at these next few verses down, from 3 all the way down to verse 8. I think it goes on and on about the fact that Abraham's insistent that you'll not take, for my son will not take a person out of the world. It's only kin. It's only family. And so the picture here is that, hey, no, you do not take a wife for my son. Now, picture who the son is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll not take a son from this world. It's got to be family. And so he sends him back to family to secure a wife for his only begotten son. And so the picture there and the emphasis here again is the fact that God the Father certainly is not going to take worldliness nor any of the world into his home as a bride again. And so we see that emphasized in the New Testament again about being a chaste virgin and about presenting ourselves holy and spotless to God. We see that in a husband and wife relationship in Ephesians 6, that we are to be holy and spotless. And so notice again, and not of the world and not worldly. And we see that emphasis here brought out when you reread this chapter. And I just wanted to highlight that on our way by. God's son will not marry into worldliness. Verse 37 and 38 covers the same where he's rehearsing that. Look over at Genesis 24, verse 37. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Look at verse 10. I like this part, and this is where I wanted to just spend the whole message. And the servant took 10 camels of his master. Now, these belong to the master. These belonged again to Abraham, the father. And these 10 camels represent, in this little illustration that we put together, that I believe God put together for us, the 10 camels represents the workhorse, as it were. The 10 camels represents, again, the believers. The ones that, again, are carrying the Holy Spirit to Rebecca. And so, notice here, they're going to represent for us the kneeling saints. And they're going to represent soul winners. They're going to represent those, again, who are already saved and go into the world. God could have sent angels to preach the gospel to every creature. He did not. He sent the likes of you and me and gave us the job of preaching the gospel to every creature. God could have just sent His Holy Spirit to go willy-nilly into this world and zap people on the forehead and smite them and do what not to them. But He did not. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God's going to talk to your kin, He's going to do it through a believer. Because we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God's going to reach people in Zambia, praise the Lord, we sent Damon and Lisa out there to help with that. But listen, He's going to do it through a believer. I pray for my grandchildren that they get saved, but understand this, that God's not just going to zap them with a salvation message. If they're down there in Texas and going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving grace that's available to them, they're going to hear about it because God's going to reach down and touch a believer down there in Fort Hood and send them out to talk to my grandchildren. God's message goes out through believers. That's us. That's our commission. Boy, again, when we understand, old Mel Rutter out at family camp at Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp preached for what, 2 hours straight on the camels in this chapter. And everything you could think about camels was brought to bear on this message. Things that ain't even in the Bible he brought to bear on this idea that we're to be camels and what camels can do and how they can survive with no water and how that they have cloven hooves to stay clean from the world and how everything you could ever imagine about a camel he covered in the message, even their lips and their everything about a camel, their ears, their fleas, everything about a camel you could imagine. And so I wished I had a copy of that message. I wished I could preach that for you. But again, understand that normally we're called sheep. And sheep are dumb enough, again. But in this illustration, the believers are the camels. And notice again that here, in this verse 11, I think it is, they were made to kneel at the well. It says right over our door, they will not come. They will not be converted without prayer. Amen. And we must never forget that. Amen. I've been to soul winning classes and soul winning seminars. I went to the God Save America rallies, and they had all their techniques about 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and they did everything again to God Save America. But listen, it ain't going to happen without the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, He's in our life, but sometimes He's buried in our life and drowning for all the other stuff we've dumped into our lives. Yeah. And not again got Him raised up on top in the right position and ruling and reigning so that He could again be an effective witness through us. Lord, help us. Here are these camels. They are the 10 camels. Why 10? I don't know. Play with that for a while. 7's a number of completeness. 10's a number of fingers we got. And so normally for humanity, when we're saying all of them, 10. Remember Jacob, he said to Laban, he said, "You've changed my salary these 10 times." And I counted it, and he said, "No, he only changed his salary 3 times." But he said 10 times. Why is that? And that's, again, what we're trying to emphasize, that we've reached the limit and crossed into double digits, as it were, again, at 10. And so notice the 10 camels represents the completeness, or all of them. And all believers ought to be camels, praise the Lord. We ought to be carrying the Holy Spirit to be a witness to those around us. 10 camels made to kneel. Give the camels to drink. Look at verse 14. "And let it come to pass," this is the eldest servant praying, "that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink,' and I will give thy camels drink also." You can run where you want with that again, but let me go ahead and tell you that hey, there's no greater thrill in my life than winning someone to the Lord. Amen. When seeing someone else pray. And being there when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing the change in their life. And being instrumental again in bringing them. Even if you don't say a word, you just get them to a place where they get saved. Amen. Listen, there's no greater joy. And you'll flat get water in from the well again when someone around you accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's the picture here, that the camels are well watered because Rebecca was a willing acceptor of this proposal. She was a willing participant for the proposal that was played out here. And that's such a blessing. And verse 19, verse 22, verse 30, verse 31, all of them again cover the fact that, and then notice how it's rehearsed. You know, the camel. Why are the camels such a big player in this story? There's no other chapter in your Bible that talks about camels this much. Why is it that there's such an emphasis on camels here? I can tell you why. It's because of the picture that God's painted here for you and for I. Don't miss it. And so look with me. I don't have time to hit all these, but look at verse 44. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. This was the miracle, again, that the Holy Spirit, as the eldest son or eldest servant, asked for. And notice again that before he had done speaking, along came Rebecca. Isn't that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. And listen, when you're a soul winner, there's no coincidences going on out there. God puts in place the ones that he would have hear the message. In this case, God put in place. Now listen, sometimes God put in place someone that'll cuss you up one side and down the other. But don't think any less that, boy, I guess I wasn't supposed to talk to him. No, you were supposed to talk to him or her, all right. You were supposed to be there. But here, praise the Lord, Rebecca was there by God's timing. And I got another whole message I want to preach out of here. I won't get to it this morning. But there's some things that a soul winner could learn, even about this approach to that gospel message that was accepted so readily by Rebecca in this picture. So the camels are important. Let's jump over to a couple other things on the camels while we're on that subject. Look at verse 61. Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Listen, when a new convert, when someone gets saved, they're going to ride upon the camels. Now, who's the camels again? I think the camels is the church here. The camels is the saints. And they already know God. And listen, when someone gets saved, they need to come and ride upon the camels. They can't do it all themselves. They can't understand it all. And again, we're here to disciple. The Great Commission is more than preaching the gospel to every creature. It's teaching them to observe, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's adding them to our number. And teaching them to observe all things, even as I have commanded you. And so here the picture portrayal is that Rebecca, who receives the invitation and wants to be the bride, rides upon the camels until she comes to the place where she meets the bride. And listen, we need to be in the church. Not only that, people that we witness to, people that we give the gospel to and that receive it, they need to be in a Bible-believing church. When Charles Finney got 98% of Oneida County, where we used to live, 98% got saved during the revivals of Charles Finney in Oneida County. And yet, Oneida County today has no Baptist churches, two or three Baptist churches. What happened? Again, they all went to back to their Presbyterian church. They all went back to their Catholic church. And they never got into they never rode on the camels up to where they meet the bride or the groom. And so again, the importance of that, to get them in church, to get them disciplined, to get them growing. I can go through 100 souls that got saved in my 20 years here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And more than that when it comes to my 25 years here in Yates County. And again, I look around and say, what happened to all them? Where are they? You and have friends. Lord help us, some of us have relatives that made a profession of faith, but never darkened the doors of a church. Listen here, Rebecca rides on the camels because that's where they grow. That's what gets them to the groom. And so they rode upon the camels. Look at verse 63. Behold, the camels were coming. That's what Mel Rudder jumped off of. That was his diving board right there. The camels are coming, praise the Lord. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Listen, there's going to come a time when you get out of this church. And that's at the rapture, okay? When we go to meet him, praise the Lord. When he comes again as the groom, he comes again to receive the bride, as it were. And so we again are to be carrying saints here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church to a place where they're ready to meet him, and then they'll light off the camel, praise the Lord. I got another message I preached about smoking that come out of that verse, but that's a different topic. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And I already covered that last week, I think, with looking at that veil. Praise the Lord for the pictures that's in this one chapter. Let's go back and get a little bit more. And I've already gone over, but let's go ahead and look at the bracelets. Look with me at verse, I think 22 is the first time it shows up. Chapter 24 and verse 22 says, "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took..." Notice again that the camels had done drinking. That's it. That's all, okay? He hasn't given any proposal. He hasn't said anything else to this Rebecca. "That the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold." What's a representative, again, of these gold that's put on Rebecca? What's the picture there? The Holy Spirit, again, giving. And in Ephesians chapter 1, I love this again, almost so I make you turn there. Ephesians says again for us, for you and I, that all heaven... We better turn there before I misquote it, okay? Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians. It's somewhere there in the New Testament, right after the book of Galatians. Blessed be the... Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So Rebecca here had not yet accepted the invitation. But notice again, the heavenly blessings were placed upon her. And that's interesting to me. That's curious. Again, that's the seal. That's the promise. That's the thing, again, that she sees. And that's only one of the things that she sees. But again, that has some part in her receiving. That has some part in authenticating, again, the fact that, hey, this was a real offer. And so the blessings of God poured out upon Rebecca had a play in her receiving. And you can follow that. It shows up again in verse 30. It shows up again in verse 47. But listen, that's all spiritual blessings. Notice again, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Notice again that there's spiritual blessings. If you get saved, you'll never have any more problems. God will dump on you all the riches of heaven. And listen, that's what Eliphaz, I think it was, told Job. He said, listen, if you were right with God, then you'd have all the riches. You'd have God's blessing on your family, and your kids wouldn't have gone through that. And listen, God just pours out, and if you just name it, you can claim it. And if you blab it, you can grab it. Listen, there's a lot of that preaching going on today. But listen, that's not for you and I. You and I, again, are told, even with that verse, I didn't know quite what to do with that, except a man take up his cross and follow me. He cannot be called my disciple. And so, again, the blessings that we find are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And sometimes it's a Ranger bass boat, but not normally. Okay. I had to throw that in there as well. The fact that there's blessings here, and they're given even before the acceptance by Rebecca, because God, again, is rich in blessings in our lives. I think I already mentioned Lahairoi, so we'll go on. Everybody remember what Lahairoi means in Hebrew?
The one who sees.
The one who lives and sees everything that's going on down here. Lahairoi. Watch for that as it shows up a couple times in God's Word. Let me go back. And this is a picture that's here. And every time I read this chapter, I see something more. I say, oh, I never saw that before. Oh, that fits right in that picture. Listen, there's stuff in this chapter about Calvinism or not, again. There's stuff in this chapter, again, about soul winning. In fact, let me give you this quick outline on soul winning. the staging of it. It's found in verse 11 of our chapter. And he made the camels to kneel down with the without the city. Listen, there's a right place to be at for soul winning. There's a right time, and it's emphasized here that he was there just at the right time. He was in just the right place, and it was the Holy Spirit that drove the camels there. Let me say that again. It was the Holy. It was not our scheduling. It's not our plan. It was the Holy Spirit that drove the camels there and made them kneel. Ooh, I like that. That'll preach, all right. There was a right target. And notice again, it was about the time that the women come to the well. You got to be at the aiming at the right target. There was the right prayer. Look at the prayer he gave. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass. And then it says, and before he had done speaking, God answered his prayer. Ooh, I like that. I've been there before. Now, I've been in a dark and famined land before, too. But listen, boy, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, soul winning is such a joy. The right prayer. There's the right attitude that this fella had. There's the right expectation. And then there is the right result. And there's the right camel ride that comes afterwards. There's a whole bunch of rights that shows up in this chapter. And again, I'll just ask you to just read the chapter again and get all excited about what God's told us in this picture. Because it's a picture, again, of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, a picture of His coming for His bride. Ooh, I like that. But He didn't come. The bride came to Him. Just deal with it. That's what we're going to do too, right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed and we'll be caught up to meet Him in the air. Listen, that's the capturing way of the bride. Father, praise You. I thank You and praise You for Your Word. Father, we stand in awe of the book that we hold in our hands. Sometimes it's a shame that we don't spend more time studying it. Father, I pray again that You just bless it now as we've glimpsed into several tremendous portrayals of what You have done already for us and of some that tell what You're going to do. Father, may we see Your Son on every page and every detail and every story. And may we never get through Genesis 24. But what we see, Your Son and us being kept as a chaste virgin for a holy wedding. We'll praise You now and thank You. Pray again that You'd touch Your Word this morning. Be with each one that's here. And Father, we'll give You the praise. Ask these things now in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing. Just as I am without one plea. You know, that's how we come. That's how Rebecca came. That's how we come. 270 in our songbooks. And let's stand. Perhaps God's tugged down your heart about something from His Word, about the soul winning, about our relationship with Him, about our salvation. Listen. Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think, again, that we ought to examine, again, the day we got saved all over again, pretty regular. If you do it as much as Paul did, you'd be in good shape again. But examine that salvation. Make sure it's the real thing. And just rejoice that we could come just as I am. If you're here today and have any question or doubt about your salvation, boy, I'd encourage you to get it nailed down, even as we'd sing. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood